interactive Wednesday midday testimony meeting. The scriptural selections are from the King James Bible and the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by the discovering founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Today's topic is Guidance from Above. The Bible, Galatians. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, and let us not weary in well-doing. Proverbs. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Good understanding giveth favor, and with the well-advised is wisdom. The Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Exodus. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, and came unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, such as fear God. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for this thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. I shall now read correlative passages from Science and Health with key to the scriptures, written by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. The Christian Scientist, through understanding mental anatomy, discerns and deals with the real cause of disease. Whoever would demonstrate the healing of Christian Science must abide strictly by its rules, heed every statement, and advance from rudiments laid down. There is nothing difficult nor toilsome in this task when the way is pointed out, but self-denial, sincerity, Christianity, and persistence alone win the prize, as they usually do in every department of life. Are thoughts divine or human? That is the important question. This branch of study is indispensable to the excision of error. The anatomy of Christian Science teaches when and how to probe the self-inflicted wounds of selfishness, malice, envy, and hate. It teaches the control of mad ambition. It unfolds the hollow influences of unselfishness, philanthropy, spiritual love. It urges the government of the body, both in health and in sickness. It has been said to the author, "The world is benefited by you, but it feels your influence without seeing you. Why do you not make yourself more widely known?" Could her friends know how little time the author has had in which to make herself outwardly known except through her laborious publications, and how much time and toil are still required to establish the stately operations of Christian Science, they would understand why she is so secluded. Others could not take her place, even if willing so to do. She therefore remains unseen at her post, seeking no self-aggrandizement, but praying, watching, and working for the redemption of mankind. In founding a pathological system of Christianity, the author has labored to expound divine principle and not to exalt personality. The weapons of bigotry, ignorance, envy fall before an honest heart. To attend properly the birth of the new child or divine idea, you should so detach mortal thought from its material conceptions that the birth will be natural and safe. Though gathering new energy, this idea cannot injure its useful surroundings in the travail of spiritual birth. A spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth removes properly whatever is offensive. The new idea, conceived and born of truth and love, is clad in white garments. Its beginning will be meek, its growth sturdy, and its maturity undecaying. When this new birth takes place, the Christian Science infant is born of the Spirit, born of God, and can cause the mother no more suffering. By this we know that truth is here and has fulfilled its perfect work. The term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to his government of the universe, inclusive of man. From this, it follows that businessmen and cultured scholars have found that Christian Science enhances their endurance and mental powers, enlarges their perception of character, gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness, and an ability to exceed their ordinary capacity. The human mind, imbued with this spiritual understanding, becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself, and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. In God's creation, ideas become productive, obedient to mind. In science, mind neither produces matter nor does matter produce mind. All is under the control of the one mind, even God. Meet every adverse circumstance as its master. Think less of material conditions and more spiritual. Mind produces all action. If the action proceeds from truth, from immortal mind, there is harmony. But mortal mind is liable to any phase of belief. A relapse cannot in reality occur in mortals or so-called mortal minds, for there is but one mind, one God. If it is found necessary to treat against relapse, know that disease or its symptoms cannot change forms, nor go from one part to another, for truth destroys disease. There is no metastasis, no stoppage of harmonious action, no paralysis. Truth, not error, love, not hate, spirit, not matter, governs man. If students do not readily heal themselves, they should early call and experienced Christian Science to aid them. If they are unwilling to do this for themselves, they need only know that error cannot produce this unnatural reluctance. If the reader of this book observes a great stir throughout his whole system and certain moral and physical symptoms seem aggravated, these indications are favorable. These changes which go on in mortal mind serve to reconstruct the body. Thus Christian Science, by the alchemy of spirit, destroys sin and disease. According to Scripture, it searches the joints and marrow, and it restores the harmony of man. This concludes the readings and the recording portion of our meeting.